Sefer Yoshua Perek Yud Gimel begins the section of Sefer Yoshua which delineates the division of the land between all of the Shvatim, the boundaries of the tribal holdings, the locations of where everybody was, what parts of the land belonged to them, but also what parts of the land had not been conquered yet. It is, in our maps and our current understanding, sometimes a little vague exactly where the boundaries were, and so there are approximations that are made. We will put some graphic files up to be able to see around where every Shevet was. There's different deos in the Rishonim and in the Achronim and in different maps as to where everybody was and what everybody held. And so we will do the best that we can for roughly the next 7 or 8 parakim as we work our way through Eretz Yisrael. And it's not all boundaries and borders. Some of it can be a little on the dry side as we try to describe where the boundaries were, but there are a lot of different lessons in the middle of the entire idea of the division, including moral and ethical lessons, historical lessons, particular situations involving particularly Shevet Yehuda and Kalev ben Yefuneh that we will talk about in Perek Yadalit. And the beginning of the division of the land, which took 7 full years, is a preface of sorts involving how this came about. So 7 years of conquering the land that went fairly slowly, and Yehoshua ben Nun is rebuked both in the psukim by implication, but also in the Gemara and the Medrash and the Oral Torah's explication of what had happened for taking so long. As we have said before, some say that Yehoshua was delaying slightly because he knew his life would end after his mission was complete. Some say he took his time because he was getting older and he didn't want to rush. Many say that he didn't rush on the level that he was capable of, but that he was a completely sincere Eved Hashem who had done nothing concretely wrong. But nevertheless, this first pasuk in Perek Yud Gimel hints at a shade of criticism of Yehoshua for getting to this point without completing the mission of completely conquering the land. Yehoshua zokein bo bayomim. And Yehoshua was old, and his days had come. He was advanced in years. The phrase bo bayomim is used only for a very few tzaddikim. David HaMelech is described this way. Others are described, Avraham Avinu is described bo bayomim. It means that as one ages, one's strength begins to fade a bit, and one's energy levels are lower. By the ripe old age of approximately 103 that Yehoshua was at this point, it is understandable. But at the same time, contrast that with Kalev ben Yefuneh, who says in the next parak at the age of 85, I'm just as strong and energetic as I was when I started. Compare and contrast that to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua's own teacher, that nothing had weakened, not his eyesight, not his perceptiveness, not his physical strength. And Yehoshua, who had been promised that Hashem would be him just as he was with Moshe, could have had that bracha as well, but instead he aged, and he aged because of some of his own responsibility at not completing God's mission with alacrity, as Moshe had when he was on the other side of the Yarden, still setting up the Arei Miklat, because he said, Hashem commanded me, I'm going to do it with great zerizus. And how do we know this? Because Vayomer Hashem Elov, Hashem said to Yehoshua, Atozo kanto boso vayomim. You have grown old, advanced in years. And the Mefarshim say, Atozo kanto, you have grown old because of your own actions or lack of zrizus in performing the mission that I had given you. So it's a little bit, I don't want to say blame, but it's a little bit of assigning responsibility to Yehoshua for delaying the completion of the mission of conquering all of Eretz Yisrael. V'aretz nish'ara harbe ma'od l'rishta. And unfortunately, a great deal of the land still remains to be inherited, to be possessed by the Jewish people. And so the beginning of the preface to the division is actually a sort of guilt-inducing delineation of all the parts of Eretz Yisrael that weren't conquered yet and should have been. And so there is a certain degree of blame, or at least, again, of responsibility on Klal Yisrael for not finishing the job. Pasuk Beis, Zos Aretz Hanish Ares. This is the remainder of the land which has not been conquered. And that includes Kol Galilos HaPlishtim V'chol HaGeshuri. all of the Galilos, which means the region, the territory, the districts of the Pelishtim, and all of the Geshuri, Pasuk Gimel, min hashichar asher al penei Mitzrayim, from the shichar that is before Egypt, the ad gvul Akron tzafona, and all the way to the border of Ekron, northwards, Ekron, not Akron, many apologies, Laknani Techoshev is considered to be the Knani, Chamesha Sarne Plishtim, and the five princes of the Philistines, of the Plishtim, Ha'azasi, the Ha'ashdodi, Ha'eshkeloni, famous cities, Aza, later known as Gaza. We've never had an easy time with Gaza. We'll see that many times. Ashdod, Ashkelon, Hagiti, Tavoa Ekroni, Behoavim. And those are the five princes of the Plishtim. Notice that five princes are listed. I'm sorry, five princes are counted. Six princes are listed. That's six different names. So what happened was, one of the princes, the Avi, were wiped out by the Kaftorim. That's mentioned in Parshas Devarim. Ho'avim ha'yoshvim ad azah, and the Kaftorim came, and hishmidum ba'yeshu sachtam, and they destroyed them and dwelled in their place instead. The Avim was the tribe led by King Avimelech, who had made a slightly underhanded bris with Avraham Avinu, that Avraham would not harm him or his great-grandsons or his great-great-grandsons. And because of this bond that had been made, the Jews had to stay hands-off of the Avim because they had made a bris with Avimelech. And this included the Avim doing terrible things to the Jews later on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it that the Avim would be wiped out by a different tribe called the Kaftorim, with whom there was no such bris to keep them safe. And so as a result, they were gone. Others, Rashi says, based on the Gemara in Chulin, that the Avim didn't descend from the Plishtim, so they weren't counted as part of the Plishtim. So there's different reasons that they assign as to why five princes are numbered, but six princes are named. These were people who lived in the Gaza Strip, in Ashkelon, north of the Gaza Strip, all along the western coast of Eretz Yisrael by the Mediterranean Sea, which was and would be a problem for the Jewish people for basically time eternal going on. And all of these places had not been conquered by the Jews, leaving the Plishtim as a problem all the way till hundreds of years later in the days of David HaMelech, certainly in the days of Shimshon HaGibor. The Plishtim are going to be a thorn in our sides, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised in the Torah, for many, many years indeed.